So if you've never heard the gospel, you just did. Amen? You just did. You heard the gospel story. It talks about the entire point of the gospel. He lived, he died, he rose again, and he's coming back. Amen? Amen. All right. Oh, glorious day. I'm excited to think about that glorious day. I hope that you are too. I don't know why, but the Lord just put it on me that I needed to say about this morning. Perhaps sometimes some of you behind me, I can't see you back there, by the way. Sometimes some of you that are behind me when I'm down there, you may see me raise my hands like this. I'm not giving the rock salute. It's not the longhorn symbol. Does anybody know what this is? That's right. God loves you and I love you. It's a symbol of love. It's a symbol of love. We were singing all about God's love. All I could do is hold up the symbol, God's love. Love, that's what we're talking about. Those are the wonderful things. And so as we think about these things and we hear that story, the gospel story, that's exactly what it is, that was through song, how amazing that is. Someone will say, well, I don't really know how to tell someone about Jesus. Tell them the words of that song. Just tell them the words about the song. It's that simple. You can share that in that way. What an amazing thing. You know, I shared with the children about new things. I know this is the Easter season. I told you I'm going to have several sermons that will be pointing towards Easter, but it won't be a formal series, so to speak. But we're talking about new things today. Everyone likes new things, right? If you don't think everybody likes new things, then why do we have so many stores? How many can have so online shopping? Every which way you turn, there's shopping. There are some people that say they use shopping to cope with other things, right? Shopping, they love new things. We get new things, we love it, right? It's all brand new. We may already had two of those at home, but this is a new one, right? We get new things. Everyone loves to get new things that happen within their life. They love that. We get those new things, we celebrate them because they're new, right? The old stuff just doesn't have all that the new stuff does, right? It just doesn't have it. You may have an old car. Now, that car still gets you from point A to point B. It cranks up every time you turn the key. The air conditioning still blows cold. It gets you to where you need to go, but it's just not quite as shiny, and it doesn't have all of the new things that the brand new cars have. You know, I got a new car a while back. It wasn't new. It was new to me, but I got a new car. Man, I got in the car. I was driving. A little rain hit the windshield, and the windshield wipers turned on by themselves. I didn't even know it did that. Windshield wipers turned on all by themselves. It got to be dark, and the brights came on, and when a car was coming, they went down all by themselves. I didn't have to do any of that. All those things happened. I even discovered that I could pull up to a parallel parking spot, push a button, and hold my hands up, and it would park it for me. What an amazing thing. New things. It was so incredible, right? They got stuff now that's even more than that. It's all these impressive things. The old stuff just gets to a point where sometimes it just doesn't feel like it has that shiny feel anymore. It doesn't have that feel that you felt when you first got it, when you first started. And so everybody wants to see new things. So today we're going to look at some of new things. We're going to talk about that. And we're going to be in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to be working through verses 16 through 19. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 16 through 19. That's where we'll be today as we go through this process. So let's go ahead and start there. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one by the flesh. Even though we have known Christ by the flesh, but now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their wrongdoings against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. We recognize no one according to the flesh. That's a hard thing. Because in flesh, that's how we tend to recognize other people, is in the flesh. We recognize other people in the flesh. We recognize them the way that they are. When we meet someone, we recognize them in the flesh. Sometimes we recognize them by their skin color. We recognize them by their heritage. We recognize them by their body shape. We recognize them by whether they're family or not. We recognize them by we work with them. We recognize them in all these different ways, but we recognize them according to the flesh. We look at a person and we see flesh. We see the things of the flesh. We see what they do for a living, where they live, what they drive, how they dress, all these things. We see these things, and that's how we tend to recognize people. The scripture says we recognize no one according to the flesh. The flesh is not something that we need to recognize them by. The flesh is something, well, let's just look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. This is what it says. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So what I want you to understand is while we're looking at the flesh is simply temporary. The flesh is temporary. What we see in a person, we look at all these things about a person, and everything about that person is temporary. It's not permanent. We look at a person's body shape. Well, that changes off and on, right? Sometimes they're different sizes. Sometimes they weigh more, they weigh less. Sometimes they're small and they grow. Sometimes they're old and they shrink. Right? All these things are temporary. They change. It's not eternal. Everything about us on this earth and this fleshly body that we have right now is temporary. Why? Because one day we're going to die. That's what God's word says. One day it's appointed unto man wants to die. We don't want to talk about death, Brother George. Well, whether you want to talk about it or not, it's coming. It's coming. One day it's coming. When? Well, nobody knows. If we knew exactly when it was going to come, we'd prepare for it, right? We knew exactly what day it was coming. We'd prepare so that on that day that we would be found perfect, doing everything we're supposed to do because we knew it was coming. But you know, the problem with that is we'd live like hell right up until that day. Really? Yeah. Ask somebody. People that know that they're dying, they say, well, you only have this much time left to live. Well, then all these other things that I do don't matter. I just want to make sure that when I get to that point, I'm okay. If we knew when it was coming, we would not live like we're supposed to. We would think, well, we know it's going to happen then, so we're not going to do it. How do I know that? How do I know that? How many of you went to school? Right? Pretty much everybody went to school, right? You went to school some form or another, and you had a test. You knew you had a test on Thursday. When did you study for it? Wednesday. Right? Wednesday night, you got the stuff out and you studied as hard as you could so that maybe you'd have recall for it on Thursday. You had 2 weeks to study for the test. Why didn't you study the first 2 weeks? Well, I had 2 weeks. I didn't need to do it right now. I knew what day it was going to happen. If we knew what day we were going to die, I'm telling you, as human beings in the flesh, flesh that is inherently evil, we would live like hell right up until the time that we got right at it. And then we try to reconcile everything. Well, God doesn't want us to reconcile then. He wants us to reconcile now. The flesh is temporary. It's not eternal. So we shouldn't be using the flesh as how we look at people. How we look at people. Wouldn't it be wonderful if when we looked at people, we didn't see color, we didn't see shapes, we didn't see socioeconomic status, we didn't see any of that. We looked at people, we just saw people like God saw them. And we saw people that we loved them because God created them. And we saw people that were hurting because they were hurting. We saw people that needed Jesus because they were lost. We saw people that God was wanting to use to do something spectacular. We saw everything like God saw. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we saw them like that? You know what? If we focus on what God has told us and we seek to look at them, not in the flesh, but look at them and how God has created them, we can begin to see that. We can begin to see that. No, we'll never see it just like God sees it. We don't have that ability. One day in heaven, we'll see everybody that way. But I want you to understand this. When God makes us new, the eternal is beautiful. When God makes us new, the eternal is beautiful. And the earth is simply flesh. Oh, we can dress it up. We can try to do all these wonderful things. We can, you know, try to act like we're special, all this different stuff. But you know what? One day we're going to die. One day that's going to happen. But when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, he makes us new. Brand new. The old passes away. We have a brand new. The new is eternal and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. We no longer have that old sin in our life. We no longer have those old ways. We're beautiful. And so if we look at people in that way, we understand these new things. Here's the thing. We knew of Christ in the flesh. We didn't know Christ personally in the flesh because I don't think none of you were alive back then, right? Yeah, I didn't think so. We didn't know Christ personally in the flesh. We weren't there, but we know of Christ in the flesh. That gives us peace. Why does it give us peace? Why would it give us peace to know that Christ one day was living in the flesh? Why would that give us peace today to know that our God, the Son of God, was living in the flesh? Well, it would give us peace to know because he lived in the flesh. He understands hunger. He understands thirst. He understands sadness. He understands anger. He understands disappointment. He understands celebration. He understands the heartaches. He understands the hardship. He understands the things that we go through. He lived it. He was in the flesh. He lived the things that we live. He knows what we feel. You see, we can say, oh, well, God, yes, he created us. He knows, but he doesn't have that personal experience of going through it like we do. He does, because Jesus went through it just like we did. Just like we do every day. We know of Christ in the flesh, which gives us peace today to know that he understands what we're going through. I get told all the time, you just don't understand what's happening. You don't understand what I'm going through. You wouldn't know. How can you understand, preacher? How can you understand the racism that I face every day when your skin color is not the same as mine? How can you understand the hypocrisy because you're a male and I'm a female? How can you understand the things that I've gone through because you've never had to go through the things that I've gone through? How can you understand? I can't completely understand. But God can. He understands every bit of it. He walked in the flesh. He knows all of those things. And he understands what you're going through. He made you. He formed you. He knitted you together in your mother's womb. Everything about you, he knows things that you don't even know. And he walked in the flesh. He walked in a way that he sees what you've gone through. He's felt the things that we're feeling. He is no longer flesh, as also we will become. If we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, one day we're going to get a new body. We're no longer going to be flesh. It's going to be brand new. It won't be the same as it was before. It will be brand new. We won't be in this old fleshly body. We won't be in have all of the limitations that we have. We won't struggle with doing things right in God's sight. We won't have all of the evil things that are trying to pour out upon us. We're going to be all brand new, just like he is. We'll no longer be flesh. We won't have to fight that fleshly battle anymore. We'll be eternal, just like he is. We will have that new body that he gives us as we step into glory. But understand, it's a new thing. It's coming. It's not yet here. I love the song, "O Glorious Day." It's coming. It's coming. Celebrate that. It's coming. We can also take that as a warning. It's coming. Don't live that way. Live this way instead. It's coming one day, and we don't know when. He's no longer flesh. We will no longer be flesh on that day when it all ends. Look at verse 17. Therefore, I like that. Therefore, that means previous to that. What did he say? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creation. A new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. We all like new, right? That's what we talked about. We all like new. But I want you to start here. If anyone. Why did you start there? If anyone. Of course, we know if anyone. Because in the flesh, we look at people in the flesh. We don't look at people in God's eyes. We start looking at people in the flesh. If anyone, preacher, does that mean that person that was convicted of that terrible murder that's in prison for life, does it mean them? Yes, it does. Anyone. Does it mean that person who has called themselves an atheist for their whole life and told everybody that God doesn't exist? Does it mean that person? Yes, it means anyone. Does it mean that person that came to know Jesus at a very young age and followed him all of their life? Yes, it means anyone. Anyone. You know, I like to say all means anyone also means anyone. There are no restrictions. It starts out in that verse, if anyone, anyone, doesn't matter what the situation is, we like to put limitations on that. Certainly, that bad person, that couldn't be them. Do you know what all bad stuff they've did in their life? Mm-hmm. Yep, it was horrible. They've done terrible, horrible things. But God, if anyone is in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, any person, no matter what life they've lived, no matter how bad it's been, no matter all that they've been through, no matter the awful things they've done in life, if anyone is in Christ, they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, you become in Christ. If anyone is in Christ. So all the different people across the world we look at, and some of them we look at and say they couldn't possibly be good people because of the past and things they've done. But if they're in Christ, all those things are gone. All those things are gone. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. It's a new creation. It's not the same. Isn't what it used to be. I used to be a dirty, rotten sinner that didn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. But now I'm a new creation. I'm no longer that guy. Does that mean I never sin again? Oh, how I wish it did. But it doesn't mean that. But it means I'm a new creation. It means now if I sin, God points that out to me and says, you shouldn't have done that. Now I have to come and repent and ask him to forgive me of that. Even though I know he already has, I can come and admit that and own up to it. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Brand new. Nothing that happened prior to that is still there. It's gone. If you get a new car, right? You get rid of the old car, you get a brand new car, is the old car still in the driveway? No, you got rid of it, right? It's a new creation. You got a new car there, you don't have the old one anymore. You got a brand new one. We don't even think about the old one anymore. It's gone. Why would we even worry about it? It's gone. It's a new car. We got a new creation. Why do we try to hold people to a standard that we don't want to be held to ourselves? We try to hold people and say, but what you did, but I'm a new creation. I'm brand new. I accepted Jesus. I'm in Christ. I'm a new creation. All those things that I did in the past, they're gone. Why? Because Jesus paid that price for me. It says if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. I'm brand new. Why are you looking at me in the flesh? Why are you looking at me in the way that I don't need to be looked at? We don't look at people in the flesh. We look at people through God's eyes. And we look at people through God's eyes, we see what God sees. He's a new creation. He's not an old creation. Whoever is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away, and all things become new. Old things pass away, all things become new. Sometimes it's not that they were a bad person. Sometimes they may have been a good person, but they weren't a believer. They'd never given their life to Christ. They weren't in Christ. Still, that old passes away and all becomes new. It all becomes new when God gets involved in it. Every single part of it becomes new. Well, preacher, I know you're saying that. And I gave my life to Christ and I've been a believer for a long time. But you know, sometimes those little things creep back in my head. And sometimes those things that I tried to leave behind when I became a new creation, they keep showing up. And sometimes I wonder if those things are going to cause me to do things that I shouldn't do. Sometimes I do fail, and I go back and do something that I know I shouldn't do. If all things have gone and I'm now new, why does that happen? Because you're still flesh. Yes, you're new, but until you step into glory with him, you're still flesh. And in that flesh, those things are going to continue. You know who puts them there? Somebody's going to say, the devil? Mm-mm. You. It's you. You're the one who puts them there. Why? Because you're still flesh. Because you haven't completely taken that step into glory. You're a new creation. Why do you keep thinking about those old things? Why do you keep going back to those old things? Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Leave them alone. Leave it in the past. Don't go back to it. When we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, He made us new. Don't sit there and dwell on the old things. They've passed away. Consider all the new things. What is it that Christ is calling you to do? Old things pass away and all things become new. You're going to like this. All. All means? All things. There are no exceptions. There's nothing that is, there's no tiny print. There's no exclusion. All things become new. All. Nothing is too big for God. He makes it all new. That life, no matter how bad it was, no matter everything that was going on in your life, no matter the things that you've done, the consequences that you're living for your actions right now, no matter all the things that are happening, God makes all, no exceptions, all things new when we accept Him. We like new things. New things are beautiful. We love to see the new flowers come out. We love to see the beauty when they become new at the beginning of the spring. You know, that's what God wants us to show everybody else. How beautiful He is through us when He made us all new. I love, love, love a brand new believer. Brand new believer, they accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Man, they get excited. And they want to tell somebody. And they want to live that life. And they're all about it. But then, if that is not cultivated, then they begin to just level out. And over time, it's like a couple who doesn't work on their relationship. They may still be together, but there's no love there anymore. Brand new believer gets so excited. Why is it that a believer who's been a believer for 40, 50, 60, 70 years is not still as excited as that new believer? Because even though all things were made new, we have allowed old things to creep back in. We have allowed old habits. We've allowed old things. We haven't embraced the new. We haven't continued daily to embrace the new. Study God's Word. You know what's amazing to me is you read God's Word, and it's new every time you read it. How is it? It's the same thing. It's the same words were written there all those years ago. You read it this time, you read it again, it's all still the same words. It is still the same words, but God reveals something new every time I read it. Something that I didn't see the first time, I now see. God makes it alive to me. He makes it new. He makes it amazing. What if we spent that time every day trying to continue to see the new things that God's placing in our life instead of falling by the wayside? God makes all things new. Verse 18. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. I want you to think about this passage. Now all these things are from God. It didn't say these things are from man. It said all these things that we're talking about are from God. God doesn't make any mistakes. God doesn't make any junk. God doesn't make things that are wrong. God only makes things right. All these things are from God. They're not from man. If all these things that we have experienced in this brand new creation is from God, then why do we keep going back to those things that are from man? Why don't we focus instead on the new things, the things that are from God, not from man, the things that allow us to walk in a way that's pleasing to Him, the things that help us to live our life in a way that others will see Jesus in Him. It's from God, not from man. Reconciled to God through Jesus. I want you to understand this. If you take Jesus out of that passage, it can't happen. There is no reconciliation to God without Jesus. There is no reconciliation without Jesus. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. No man comes to the Father except through the Son. If it were not for the blood shed by Jesus Christ, then all those old things in our life could not be made new. All those things could not be washed away. All of our lives would be in the same sinful state if it weren't for the blood of Jesus. Reconciliation to God only comes through Jesus. Only through Jesus. No other way. Well, you know, maybe I could try some of these other religions. You could try. It doesn't work because Jesus said the only way of the Father is through him. It doesn't work. Maybe I could try to just be a good person. You can try. It's not going to work because that's not enough to cover the sins. You can try all these different ways, but it won't be enough because reconciled to God through Jesus, this is the ministry of reconciliation. It's the ministry of reconciliation. You have to be reconciled. If something happens and two people get crossways to each other, there has to be a reconciliation for them to continue on, right? There has to be a point in time where they can be reconciled to one another. They can come together. You know what? Here's the thing. If we're not being reconciled through Christ, is it going to last? This ministry of reconciliation is not reconciliation for two people. He's talking about reconciliation to God. Every person must be reconciled to God. What do you mean reconciled? How did they get away from God in the first place? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, it tells us all have sinned. If all have sinned, as soon as we sinned, we were separated from God in that moment. We were separated. Well, maybe I haven't sinned. Well, Scripture says all, and all means all, so all have sinned. Every single one of us has sinned. If we broke one commandment, we broke them all. We've all sinned, every single one of us. And if we've all sinned and we've all broken our relationship with God, we have to be reconciled. And the only way we can be reconciled is through this ministry of reconciliation through Jesus. Once we are reconciled through Jesus to God, and we become one with him, and all of those things, the old have passed away and the new has come, then we have to have a ministry of reconciliation, not just so that we can be reconciled, but so that others can be reconciled. Here's the thing. If one person finds something out, they're the only person. How does someone else ever find that out? They have to be told, right? They have to share. They have to be the one to share what's going on. News travels. People tell others about the news. If you know there's a storm system coming, everybody's going to be talking about it. There's one coming tonight, by the way. There's a storm system coming, everybody's going to be talking about it. There's a big event coming to town, everybody's going to be talking about it. There's some scandal, everybody's going to be talking about it. That's the way people find out. When someone finds out, other people find out. Well, this ministry of reconciliation, here's what it makes us. Ambassadors for Christ. You see, when we know, then our job is to be an ambassador for Christ and tell other people. We have ambassadors in the United States that go to other countries, and their whole purpose is to bring the business of the United States and that country, to be a go-between and share the business of the United States and that country, to tell them about what our country can do for them, to make sure that relationship is strong. The thing is for us, if we know Jesus as Lord and Savior, our job, our ministry of reconciliation is to be an ambassador for Christ. It's to tell people about him, to live so that other people will see that. You know, ambassador, if you've ever seen their cars, they drive around in a car with big flags on it and a big emblem showing that they are an ambassador, so you know who they are. Well, we don't have the emblems and all that sort of stuff to tell other people who we are, but you know what? If you walk around serving God and you live for him, people will see that. And they can recognize that you are a Christian. We can be an ambassador for Christ. As God reconciled us to himself through Christ, God reconciled us to him through Jesus. That's how he did that. As he did that, we are to show those around us how to be reconciled also. How to be reconciled also. You ever start a job and they say, okay, Thank you. You're welcome. We're glad you're here. We want you to be part of this. And we're going to assign this person to you, and they're going to be your sponsor. And they're going to show you where all the exits are and the break room, and show you how to clock in and out. And they're going to help you as you make your way in the beginning of this new job. You see, we're supposed to be those sponsors, those ambassadors to people that don't know. We're to tell people, you know what? So here's the thing. I want to share Jesus with you. I want to tell you about what's happened in my life. I want to tell you that there's only one way to the Father. That's through the Son. I want to share with you that you too can know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You don't have to spend an eternity in a devil's hell. It can be different. Let me show you how. I know because I've been through it. I know because God showed it to me. I know because I've been saved through Him. We are to show all those around us how to be reconciled also. Now, here's a question for you. Are you sick of the old life? Are you sick of the old life? Do you know that most people that are polled, surveys that go out, and they ask people, how satisfied are you with your current life? Most people are dissatisfied. For a lot of people, they're dissatisfied because, well, I want a bigger house. I'm dissatisfied because I want a better car. I'm dissatisfied because my relationship with my spouse is not as good as it should be. I'm dissatisfied because my job, I haven't gotten to the level I want to be in my job. I'm dissatisfied with the world because of all of the things that are going on. I'm dissatisfied with the politics. I'm dissatisfied with the economy. I'm dissatisfied with people in general because people are so rude and obnoxious and all the things that are going on now. I'm dissatisfied. I'm sick of this life. I'm sick of all these things that are going on. I'm dissatisfied in this. Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever given your life to Jesus? A lot of times the answer is, well, no. That's just another one of those things. I've tried everything else, and that's just another one of those things. No, I've never done that. No, I've never done that. Well, why don't you give that an equal shot? Why don't you take a look at that too? Why don't you maybe open God's Word and read it? Maybe let me tell you a little bit about it. Let me share with you my life and how everything's new in my life. It's not the way I used to be that way. I used to feel like you do. I used to have all these things going on. But now I know one day He's coming. I know that He came, that He walked on this earth, that He died, He was crucified for my sin, He shed His blood, He was buried, but He was resurrected on the third day, that we might have life and have it abundantly. Jesus died for you. You see, He didn't just die for me. He didn't just die for this person or that person. He died for all. And so what I want to tell you is how you can have a new life. You don't have to have this old life that you're sick of. You don't have to have this life in which you're struggling every day because nothing you do seems to be good enough, or nothing you do seems to make you have joy in your life. Everything seems to be pressing down on you. Have you tried Jesus? Have you ever given your life to Him? Are you completely sick of this old life? Maybe you're here today and the reason you came is because you're sick of that old life. And you say, you know what? I'm going to go to church. I'm going to try it out, see what they have to say. I want to come in and I want to listen and I want to hear what they have to say. Well, here's what I have to say for you today. God makes all things new. Whoever's in Christ is a new creation. If you're sick of the old life, it's time to accept Jesus. Accept Him and become new. Become what He wants you to be. Become the person He wants you to be. Serve Him in the way that He wants to serve you to serve Him. Do that. Suddenly all those things that are pressing down on you that you're wondering, why is all this way? Maybe it changes because all things will be made new. Now, I'm not telling you that all your troubles are going to go away just because you accept Jesus. A lot of the troubles that we have, they came because we put them in our life. Maybe we have consequences of choices that we made across our life. Maybe those consequences are what's weighing us down. But you know what? Even though they may not be taken away, Jesus, God, is going to walk through them with us. And He's going to make it easier to get through all of those things. Are you sick of your old life? Is that where you are today? Are you absolutely sick of that? Well, if you are, then the question becomes, are you ready for new things? Are you ready for new things? Are you ready for things to be different in your life? Are you ready to see what God will do in your life? This morning, in fact, I had a discussion with someone and I said, you know, as you're planning your future, have you ever asked what God wants? Or do you simply make your own decision what you want? For many of us, we just made the decision what we want. We said, oh, these are the things I want, and so that's what I'm going to do. We didn't ask God. Why? Well, for some of us, we didn't ask God because we didn't know God. We just made our own decision. We did our own thing. We didn't know Jesus. For others, maybe we knew Jesus, but we didn't include him in our plans. We just decided to go on and do it our own way. The reality is, he created you in the very first place. He's the one who made you who you are. He's the one that gave you everything that you have in order to use you for his glory. Are you ready to see what that looks like? Perhaps you're here today and you say, you know what? I've never felt like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I've never felt like that my life makes any difference in anything. I've never felt like that there's a purpose for my life. Do you understand one of the number one reasons for suicide is people feel unloved and useless? Those two things are one of the things that people end up committing suicide. They don't feel any love from anybody, and they feel useless. Well, here's the thing. When you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, you feel all the love from God, and he has a purpose for you. Those two things change your life. So, new things. How about something new? You want something new in your life? You want to see what God's going to do? You want to see how God's going to use it? Then give it to him. Maybe you know him and you've been serving him for years. You say, I accepted Christ 30 years ago and I've known him. I go to church, I read my Bible, I do things. But have you listened to see if he has something new for you? Have you given him your life and said, here I am, send me? Have you listened to him and said, hey, there's something going on and God could use me for this? Have you given yourself to that? New things. Look for those new things. God may want to use you in a different way this year than he did last year. New things. Look.